Israel has launched fresh airstrikes on the south of the Gaza Strip. Palestinian security sources say Israeli warplanes fired missiles near Rafah and north of Khan Yunis. The area is close to the border with Egypt. The attacks caused no injuries. An Israeli military spokeswoman has neither confirmed nor denied the assaults. Earlier in the day, an Israeli tank fired a shell at a house in the area. Israel regularly carries out attacks on the besieged coastal strip. Palestinian Authority, or PA officials, have threatened to take legal action over Israel's mistreatment of Palestinian detainees.
Well, this comes after former Israeli soldier Eden Abigail posted photos on Facebook showing her next to blind, folded and handcuffed Palestinians. PA officials call the images a clear violation of international law and human rights. They are calling on international organizations, including the UN, to end the Israeli occupation. This, they say, is the occupation is a source of humiliation for Palestinians and a source of corruption for Israelis. The controversial images have also been condemned by rights groups. The Israeli Committee Against Torture say they prove that the Israeli army treats Palestinians like objects and not humans. The Israeli army has not announced whether it will take legal action against Abigail. With them, and thanks to Mohammed Awais, Middle East expert from Washington.
Second, Germany now. New survey shows Chancellor Angela Merkel's ruling union is lagging behind in the country's main opposition party. The poll conducted by the Allensbach Institute gives the SPD party 32% of votes. That's 1% ahead of what the survey gives Merkel's Christian Democrats. This is the first time that the opposition is ahead since Merkel took office back in 2005. The German Chancellor's popularity has been constantly falling since her new term began last autumn. Experts say the drop is due to the economic downturn and quarrels with her liberal partners.
Another protester has been killed in Indian-controlled Kashmir. The demonstrator died of his injuries suffered during a clash with Indian forces. The death brings to 58 the number of protesters killed by Indian troops in 2 months of protests in the region. Meanwhile, demonstrations against Indian rule are continuing across Kashmir. The protesters have clashed with Indian soldiers, who used tear gas and batons to break up the protest. The demonstrators want independence from New Delhi.
The UN says some 20 million flood victims in Pakistan have not received any aid despite international relief efforts. The world body also says that it has only received 40% of the $459 million it immediately asked for last week. The UN had stated that an outbreak of waterborne diseases threatens 6 million people, including 3.5 million children. Meanwhile, the World Bank has announced it is sending $900 million as a loan to Pakistan to help in the flood recovery. 3 weeks of flooding have engulfed one quarter of that country, including its agricultural heartland. Floodwaters have claimed over 1,600 lives so far, inflicting unprecedented damage on the country's infrastructure.
The U.S. says the Afghan president's four-month deadline for eliminating private security contractors in his country is aggressive. This after President Hamid Karzai signed a decree ordering the termination of all the security firms by January the 1st. Kabul argues that security firms operating in the war-torn country do more harm than good. Karzai says the firms are diverting resources from the training and equipment of Afghan security forces. The Pentagon has criticized the move by President Hamid Karzai, claiming that Afghanistan still represents a daunting security challenge. Private security firms have employed more than 40,000 people in Afghanistan. Well, earlier, former U.S. Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney told us more about the public opinion regarding private security firms operating in Afghanistan.
Some of us have long disagreed with the role of private military contractors in the pursuit of U.S. objectives. Of course, we don't agree with those stated objectives either. And in the Afghanistan situation, the tremendous amount of money that went into private security organizations that had very close ties to the Karzai regime itself, was something that gave very many people pause. But this is a regime that has been imposed on the people of Afghanistan. And so we don't know what the will of the Afghani people is, because it has never been fully expressed or explored. What we do know is that the United States has cajoled its NATO allies into committing all kinds of war crimes and crimes against humanity in Afghanistan. And, of course, there is the added problem of the use of depleted uranium, which knows no boundaries as it is carried along air currents.
Romania has ordered the expulsion of a Romanian diplomat. The move comes a day after Moscow expelled a Romanian embassy official. Romania says a diplomat in the Russian embassy in Bucharest of the same diplomatic rank as the expelled Romanian official has been declared persona non grata. On Monday, Russia's intelligence agency, FSB, detained a Romanian diplomat for spying. He was then ordered to leave the country within 48 hours. FSB says he was caught trying to get his hands on secret military information, adding that he had spying equipment on him.
Well, you're watching the news here on Press TV. Quick check of the headlines this hour. Israeli warplanes attack the Gaza Strip amid the continued siege of the impoverished territory. Palestinians in the West Bank plan legal action against Tel Aviv over humiliation of prisoners. And the latest opinion poll shows German Chancellor Angela Merkel is losing public support.
Palestinian refugees can now legally work in Lebanon. That's a story we're going to be covering for you in the second half. Don't go away.
Tension grows between Israel's foreign ministry and its intelligence service, Mossad. The Foreign Ministry Workers Union has ordered Israeli embassies to stop paying the expenses of Mossad agents abroad. The ministry may also decide to halt payment of all wages to employees of the espionage agency. The move was in response to Mossad's interference in organizing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's trip to Greece. The task is usually carried out by the foreign ministry, but at that time the ministry employees were on strike. Israeli diplomats say Mossad's involvement broke their strike, which was against low wages.
Well, Lebanon's parliament has adopted a law granting full employment rights to Palestinian refugees. The bill gives permission to about 400,000 Palestinians to work in Lebanon. The law will give Palestinians the right to work in any field open to foreigners in the workforce. Giving Palestinian refugees the right to work has been an issue in Beirut for decades now. The new legislation also gives Palestinian social security services from a special fund that will be set up for them. The Lebanese constitution still prohibits the naturalization of the refugees.
Well, now, weaker than expected economic growth, high unemployment rates, mounting foreclosures. These facts ring a bell that the number one economy in the world is far away from recovery.
High hopes of U.S. economy watchers were dashed after the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis released a weaker-than-expected second-quarter advance report on the gross domestic product. What makes it worse is that experts predict the third and fourth-quarter growth to be equally modest, as the recovery appears to be losing steam. Some analysts say the low pace of growth will make unemployment hang over the economy like a cloud, well through 2011. Former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury Paul Craig Roberts says,
"The deficits are already too large for the dollar to survive as reserve currency, and deficit spending cannot put Americans back to work in jobs that have been moved offshore."
The unemployment rate for July was 9.5%. Economists don't expect any changes in that figure the rest of the year, as businesses are hiring fewer workers.
Well, they're encouraging in some sense.
Earlier this month, Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner had warned Americans that the country's already sky-high unemployment rate could get worse before it gets better. Consumer spending, a key engine of growth for the world's largest economy, continues to face disappointing data. It is expected to increase by only 1.5% in 2010, about half the pace of its long-term average. As the influence of President Obama's stimulus program moderates, experts say there are no considerable economic drivers on the horizon in 2011. They believe consumers will remain cautious as long as job growth is weak and credit is tight. State and local governments, usually a source of stability, will also be a non-factor due to huge budget deficits. With such a gloomy picture painted for the future of the U.S. economy, the question is the world's largest economy getting close to its demise?
Iran's nuclear chief has warned that any possible attack on his country's nuclear power plant will mount to an international crime. Ali Akbar Salehi says, quote, "Attacking a nuclear plant is an international crime, as the consequences will not be limited to the host country, but will have a global aftermath." Salehi's remarks come as former U.S. envoy to the United Nations has encouraged Israel to attack Iran's Bushehr nuclear facility. John Bolton says Tel Aviv has got only a few days to bomb Iran. Bolton, however, sounded skeptical about the possibility of such an attack. Construction of the Bushehr nuclear power plant has been closely monitored by the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, in compliance with all international norms and regulations.
Well, now, predicting when women will reach the menopause has never been an accurate science, but now Iranian doctors say they've developed a simple blood test to determine when a woman will reach that stage. Press TV's Gisum Shahmadi reports.
Whether it's about deciding when to have babies or getting to know more about their body and lowering the risk of cardiovascular diseases, breast and endometrial cancer, or osteoporosis, knowing when a woman reaches her menopause can be considered important information.
Most women go through menopause between the ages of 45 and 60, but 15% of the women don't follow this pattern.
Gynecologist and researcher Fahime Ramazani Tehrani says a simple blood test is all it takes to predict the likely date of menopause.
It tested the amount of a hormone named anti-Müllerian hormone antibody. This hormone is a kind of hormone that is secreted exclusively from the oocyte or ovary of women. For that reason, it can give us some estimate regarding the fertility potential in women. We randomly selected 266 women aged between 80 to 49, followed them every 3 years. During this 12 years follow-up, 63 of these women reached menopause. We try to estimate the age at menopause based on their first blood samples. And when we compare the predicted age at menopause based on their blood samples with the actual age at menopause, we find that on average they look very similar, and on average only one-third of a year difference is existed. We believe that it is a reasonable estimation of age at menopause.
But aside from planning when to have kids, why is knowing that important?
Menopause causes radical changes in women. Anxiety and mood swings are usual symptoms, while hot flashes occur in over 85% of menopausal women. Two major problems associated with menopause are osteoporosis, or thinning of the bones, and heart disease. And annual screening tests for breast and endometrial cancer are required.
The results of the 12-year study still needs to be validated in larger research sample groups and longer follow-up studies before laboratories are provided with the guidelines to carry out this test, according to the research team. Gisumisha Ahmadi, Press TV, Tehran.